Festival number 18, episode 2 of Veronica Mars. We'll be discussing Veronica Mars episodes 3, Meet John Smith, and 4, The Wrath of Khan. I'm Danielle. Here with me are Mitch.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
And Adriana.
Hi. Oh, you nailed it, Danielle.
Adriana.
We're really good at that now. We're all getting really used to it. See, we love each other already. This is rewatchable, guys. We rewatch things and we like gather up together all on a couch and we eat popcorn and we just love Veronica Mars together.
So much love. All right. Before we jump into episode 3, we want to talk about hypeable comments and listener feedback. So on the podcast post on Hypeable, we rounded up a few of the comments and we'd like to share them with you. So the first one is from Alexis. She says, super pumped for this. Thanks for choosing Veronica Mars, guys. I'm really looking forward to the series of rewatchable podcast discussions. Alexis, we are too, and we're so happy to be doing this. And please feel free to discuss along with us. So if there's anything you want to throw out there, please keep doing it, and we will definitely read it. The next one is from Tito Cannon. They say, cannot wait for this to begin. Veronica Mars is one of those shows I've watched so many times, either alone or forcing it upon my friends. Good for you, Tito. That many of the season one DVDs don't even play anymore.
Oh my gosh.
That's dedication.
I didn't know that could happen.
I didn't either. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of hope that doesn't happen to mine, but I kind of do.
Well, I'm just getting mine from the WB shop, which I'd recommend anyone else doing because Adriana told me that it was cheaper on there. And all three seasons, I think, were very inexpensive, like $60, which is so inexpensive for TV shows. It really is, especially an old one like this, because I think one season on Amazon runs like $40. So I was like, oh, $60 all three seasons, HB store, you won. So that's where you should get them if your DVDs are starting to scratch out like Tito Cannon's.
I wish plug. I would have done that.
Yeah, this plug. Episode is actually sponsored by WBShop.com.
Welcome to Rewatchable, sponsored by WBShop.com.
I wish I would have known that.
Welcome back, Rewatchable listeners.
Status update on my season 2 DVDs. They still haven't shipped.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
That's
they sent
so
me an
horrible.
Email asking me if it's okay if I prolong my request for the DVDs. Otherwise, they would just cancel my order. So they asked me if I would prolong it, if I still want them.
I hope you're getting free shipping.
I think I am, because it was over $25 for the both of them. So I got the free shipping.
Wait, did you go WB Shop also?
I did not. I went Amazon. I got... Season 1 was like $13, and for some reason I found Season 2 for about the same price, which is really weird. And so I really want it at that price, so I am not canceling my order.
No, it's very legit that you want that, because you don't want to lose that price, because now it's, like I said, like $40. And I'm like, bleh.
I know.
And one episode is $2, which equals up to like $35 for one season, I think, or $25 or something, streaming. Regardless, WBShop.com.
WBShop.com. All right. The last listener comment. This one is from Julia. She says, I'm so excited for this. I watched it during its original run and own each series on DVD for many years. But it's going to be so awesome listening to your thoughts and engaging in the commentary. Thank you, Hypeable, and welcome to all the newbies. It's so great to see so many people watching the show for the first time. You are all in for an amazing time.
Oh, thank you, Julia. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. That kind of comment makes me really excited for this show.
Yes. That it sums up pretty much everything that I could ever say. Just, I'm happy to have you two newbies here so much.
Aw, shucks.
Aw. And I'm so excited to get going. So... let's go to episode 3, Meet John Smith. I will just go through the synopsis really quick, and we can begin our discussion. Sound good?
Sounds fabulous.
Awesome. Okay, so, synopsis. In this episode, Veronica's high school guidance counselor calls her father into the school to discuss Veronica's struggling academic and social life after Lily's death. To everyone's surprise, Veronica's actually doing quite well in her social life as she gets closer to Duncan's cute new friend, Troy. When Troy asks her out on a date, Veronica accepts, and although they have a great time, he leaves hurt when he realizes she's not willing to open up to him emotionally. Meanwhile, Duncan decides to suddenly quit taking his medication, and although his personality is much livelier, he also starts acting very brash and irrationally. He jumps off of the school stadium bleachers when he spots Veronica kissing Troy, and when Duncan cracks open his head after the jump, Veronica has to rush into the doctor. At the end of the episode, we see that Duncan finally gets back on his medication after he hallucinates a bloodied up Lily sitting next to him on the couch. We'll get into that for sure. And then as for the mystery of the week, this episode revolves around a geeky underclassman named Justin who hires Veronica to help him find his missing father. Veronica is furious when she finds out that, spoiler alert, Justin believes his father is dead. Oh, and only hired her in an effort to spend more time with his crush. But when the hundreds of letters she addressed to John Smith return, two of them go on a genuine search to find Justin's missing father. They end up discovering that Justin's father is actually the woman who visits Justin at the video store where he works every week. And after father and son reunite, Veronica decides to go full force in search of her own mother. She drives out to Arizona, only to discover that her mother left a few weeks ago. Disappointed and hurt, she drives to California and shows up at Troy's house seeking comfort.
Well, Veronica likes driving a lot, that's for sure.
She does. And she loves that car.
Adriana, you could contend with me that the driving she does is unrealistic. She's going from the OC to San Diego in one day, and not even like a lot. That's not even a lot of driving for her. You and I just did that for San Diego Comic-Con. That was it was quite
the
trek.
That was horrible. But it also was during Comic-Con. It does not take that long the rest of the time.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, she's not as stuck in the five, isn't it? I think they talk about the five in the show, don't they?
They did.
I got really excited.
Whenever I hear about like highway numbers, I think of the Saturday Night Live sketch, if any of you have seen it. It's
no.
one of what the worst it? That they have. It's called The Californians. And
oh God.
All they talk about is how they're getting to places. Like, I'm going to jump on the 5, and then we're going to go on the 13. And then we have to bypass the 15. And I don't know anything roads in California, but that's what it reminds me of.
I'm new here, but it's so our lingo. It really is. It's like everyone just cares about like what road's the best, and like, so you're taking State and then you're getting off at Harbor and then you're going on to the 15 and you're blah 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 blah.
So that's actually true? That actually happens?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely more of, I think, like a big city thing, like in LA, because it's just so hard getting anywhere. It takes forever. Mm.
Yeah, you want to rely on your friends and your GPSs to get around, because you can't just
unless
like,
you don't have a GPS.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Adriana and I had a really fun time trying to deal with like a dinosaur GPS getting stuck on these roads, and that's another thing that Veronica doesn't have that she's just not getting lost with. I just don't. How is she driving to these places? I know she's smart, but does she have like an internal GPS implanted or something? Like, what's going on?
Like, is it feasible for what is it, Arizona to be 4 hours away?
It's desert. That's the thing. Like, you have to drive through like a
feasible.
Good desert.
She said if there's no traffic.
Okay.
It is feasible because California's skinny. It's like really long and skinny.
But no, that's the thing though. Like, I just did my cross country trip to get to California. When I was driving through Arizona, I don't remember seeing civilization for like a good 5 hours, and I was not into California proper for a while because I was just stuck in normal day traffic. And I don't know what she was talking about. If there's traffic, you're living in LA, there's going to be traffic.
Well, but didn't she say that it was 45 miles from San Diego,
which doesn't make too much sense to me once again because I am missing
so
that.
Is she in Orange County? I'm confused as to the logistics of this.
She's in the OC.
Gabrielle would know.
I know. Yeah. She does. Danielle, do you remember what town she's in?
She's in Neptune, which is part of Balboa County.
Where's Balboa, Adriana?
If that's a real place.
Is it real? I
don't know. I'm Chicago.
I'll Google
like,
it.
I know my Illinois Chicago stuff. don't.
Because if anything, she's not near enough to Adriana or I that we would know the town. So I'm thinking she's more north than us. So that's
Balboa
a lot.
Balboa Island is in Newport Beach, which is... In the OC, so...
Yeah, so she's doing the same drive that I am.
Yeah.
So, like we were saying, like, I don't think in Arizona there's anything relatively near that area of California, because that's exactly where I drove up from, so... I don't know. I'm calling crap on this, but maybe someone else... I'm calling shenanigans, but it's for the length of the show and however they can get her to point B, so...
It is 90 miles from Newport Beach to San Diego.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it says in current traffic, 2 hours.
Well, no, I'm talking not even just that. I'm talking to Arizona. That was the most unrealistic part, I thought. Because, yeah, I agree she could do the San Diego if she wanted to. That's about the trip that I did, but, like, yeah, she honestly...
It's 8 hours to Phoenix, 8.5 hours to Phoenix.
Exactly, that's my point. So that... So she basically should have been broken down on the side of the road with no gas. Because there's, no gas stations for, 3 hours sometimes. It's horrible.
Is it? I don't even know.
I know. Well, we're talking so much about logistics. Let's get into the actual plot points of this episode, because I'm past that. I was bothered, but whatever. It's fiction.
It happens. It's
it okay. Happens.
We're okay.
Yes.
all right. So let's jump in, I guess, to one of the biggest plot points. Did the reveal of John Smith blow your mind?
Mm-mm.
Were you expecting it? Mm-hmm. Were you? Mm-hmm. You were?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Come on, okay. Red herring! Come on, red herring!
Oh my god! I was not expecting it at all. Like,
I'm just the important character in your video store.
No.
You were shocked. So you didn't see anything with that woman coming to the video store? Nothing.
No, I mean, I must have not been paying attention to her. I was like, what is she talking about? She was kind of like seductive. You know who she reminded me of? Have you ever seen Dawson's Creek?
Mm-hmm, a little bit.
Okay, well, like Pacey, he has an affair with his teacher, and she always comes into the video store and like tries to seduce him. That's kind of what I thought.
Oh, jeez. And that's just weird on a whole different level, not only because it's his father, but because it's his father that used to be his father, but now it was a woman. So it's like a weird, 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 weird standard right there.
Yeah, no, but I just, like, when that happened, I had to, like, go back and try and find her on the video store to make sure they looked the same, because I was so confused.
Really? You didn't even look at her? I thought she was so uniquely looking on purpose so that you could see her from video store to Arizona or San Diego and you'd recognize her.
I think when I was watching it for the first time, I was wondering why they kept throwing her in. And I binge-watched Veronica Mars like a month after I binge watched every single season of NCIS. So at the end of that, I started getting really good at like pinning things down. But I think I missed this one. Like, I was wondering why they kept showing her, but it didn't click until she like pulled up in the driveway and I was like, oh.
I called it so long ago. I just knew it. I mean, I'm not like saying like I'm some super genius. I miss a lot of stuff like that all the time. But like maybe I've watched one or two NCISs where I've called it and that's it.
Yeah.
But this episode, I just called it because, I don't know, I was jaded from something. There's some show that's done this before where the character in disguise is one that just shows up and has a strange importance during an important scene. So that important scene... was setting up Justin's life and showing him at the video store, and with him having his life set up, having that woman showing up right then and there proved to me that she was really important to this father storyline. You know, that's where I saw it. I didn't see it exactly that it was a transgender. It's transgendered, right? Because she changed genders
from
male to female.
I believe that is correct.
Right. So. I didn't call that was going to happen, but I knew that she was going to be important in this father storyline. Like maybe she would be married to the father or something.
Okay. So then does kind of having an idea of, or like kind of calling it, did that take away from the story for you? Like, did you still enjoy it, or were you just kind of like, all right, let's get this over with?
Well, no, it made it even more exciting because I wanted to see where the real father was, because this is a woman, you know, according to my brain way back when I was watching this episode, I was just like, oh yeah, it's the wife of John Smith or something. And that's who she is. So when she finally showed up in the driveway, I was like, this is it. This is, the wife of Justin's father. But it turns out it was Justin's father. Ooh. So now that is, once again, another one of our deep themes of Veronica Mars that some shows would shy away from. But Veronica Mars doesn't bat an eyelash at putting in a transgendered character. And I applaud them on that, because that is quite the emotional storyline to put a 14, 15-year-old little boy through.
I think so, too. I think it, one, says a lot because they put it into the third episode of this very first season. So I think that was gutsy, and I think it really paid off, and it kind of throughout the show, they kind of gave arguments about parents in general. And I think that kind of fit in really well. And I think they tackled it relatively well, especially for being an early 2000s show or mid 2000s show.
Adriana, what did you think about the big reveal, though? Were you at all catching on to what you should have seen or anything? Or you said you had to like go back and try and re-recognize who the woman was, right?
Well, okay, when he said that it wasn't when it wasn't him, the guy they were following.
Right,
I thought
not the brown eyes or something, right?
I thought that the dad was going to be gay and that's why the mom was going to be mad. So I was like, oh, it's his partner. Mm-hmm. So I kept waiting for the partner to show up. But then when she drove up, I was like, oh, my God, no. It's the woman. So
this sounds so soap opera-y now. But it wasn't. It was not at all. It was great.
No, it sounds like it could be a soap opera topic. Yeah. But the way they tackled it just was not. So that's a good thing, too, that they did it in the right way.
And it was all in that reaction. It was all in Justin's way of realizing that John Smith was now a woman. And in that one line where John Smith, I wish we had a new name for her because it's a woman now, right? So the way that John Smith was like, I had to do this. And Justin's like, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. That was what I think separated it from anything that was soapy. You know, it just felt like something that a real person would say to their real son, you know?
And even his reaction.
Oh, the poor little boy crying. I wanted to go up and coddle him. I was just like, you're just so little sweet and you just want to find your daddy and then your daddy's not your daddy and it upsets you a lot. And I'm just like, oh, it's a lot to deal with.
Like, it would have been soap opera-y if John Smith had, like, taken the boy and, like, pushed him against his bosom and they would cry together or, like, something like that.
Yes, but, for real.
You know?
Like, my son, I found you. I don't care. Mommy, come here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, put on, like, the Miss Kane voice, right? My son, I have been looking for you all of these years.
Yes. Yes. So, anything else about the mystery of the week? Like, did this one... I know how last time we were talking about how the mysteries of the week were bothering you a little bit because they're kind of one-offs and we don't see them again. Would this one bother you if they just never touched on it again? Or you think they're getting better with the mysteries of the week being kind of self-contained?
Getting better.
Does that make sense?
Getting better a lot. I think that this one felt more like a ghost whisperer rather than insert after school special here because it had a strong relevance on what was going to happen in Veronica's life after. And that's what happens in Ghost Whisperer. She'll see a ghost or a storyline and she almost always ends up crying in the end of the episode, which is a little bit too much for me. But thank God Veronica didn't end up tearing up because it's not her life, you know? And it only affected her where it needed to, though. It made her want to find her own mother more. So that's my long-winded answer to no, it didn't feel after school specially.
Speaking of Veronica tearing up, though, when she goes and talks to the friend... Mm-hmm. I thought that was some of the best acting that she's done on this show. I think it's the best acting she's done on the show. When she started tearing up, I teared up. It was just so emotional to think of. I felt so bad for her.
Yeah, let's talk about that scene and about Veronica Mars's mom in general. I thought that was really bad. Like, she drove all that way and all that way. That's depending on if it's real or not, but all that way. And I would be crushed. And I think that she portrayed that feeling so well that, yeah, like you said, Adriana, like I felt it and I totally felt for her. I wanted to cuddle her.
So. Because she wasn't like sobbing. She looked like someone who was trying so hard to not be crying. And I thought that felt so real for the moment.
Yeah, you're right, because she's so determined to find out where her mother is, so she's not going to let herself break down. And that's Veronica's personality. She's hardened herself up, so even in like the worst kind of situations like this, she's going to, you know, take them with stride.
So then does this cast any sort of, for you, does it cast any sort of light on Veronica's mom?
I've seen this kind of storyline kind of... too much, I think. Wouldn't you say, Ariana, too?
I was so angry at her. I was like, she's horrible. I literally typed that in my notes. She's horrid. I hate her. Because how can she do that to Veronica? I don't know. It's gonna take a lot to redeem her now for me.
And to me, I just saw this as something I've seen a million times over. I'm not saying I'm getting sick of the storyline because the acting's making it more refreshing. But I have potential of getting sick of this storyline if it's always, I'm running away. I've just seen that just to give a random example, let's just say Heroes, where Claire's trying to find her real parents, without spoiling that show. It has a lot of that same theme. It can get a bit of a nuisance when a character's motivations are shot down by silly little, I guess, pundits or little try again, the princess is another castle things. Like, those get to me because they make me feel like the show isn't trying as hard as it can if it repeats it. But if the first time it happens is the only time it happens, I'm okay with that. I just don't want this to be a repeating event.
Okay.
But Mitch, I'm interested in hearing from you since Danielle can't talk. What do you think that her mom is up to? Like, what is she doing and why is she talking to the Canes?
I'm taking it on service value, and I'm taking it as her being some sort of call girl prostitute at this point, unfortunately. But now you're making me think more because you're asking me what I think about it. I'm just like, wait, it can't be as obvious. So other than that, it can't be something as simple as an affair either, because that's a little bit too soap opera-y again. So, God, it's just so hard for shows not to fall in that soap opera-y area. And I know that was a lot of the complaints with, like, Smash on Smash Chat. We always were trying to find that balance. And I think Veronica Mars is running a lot of really close lines with adding Veronica Mars' mom in with the Kane father. You know, that's a really tight line to walk.
Yeah.
What do you think, though? Like, what do you think she's up to?
I don't know. I feel like she must know who killed Lily and what the Canes, like, what the Canes had to do it. Like, I'm not convinced. I don't know if we should talk about that now or more in the next episode, but I'm not convinced that the Canes did it or did it maliciously. But I think that whatever part they had in it, that the mom knows what's going on.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. So I can see something relating to the death being more realistic for the tone that Veronica Mars is going for. I agree. I like that. I'm gonna go with that then. But who knows? I mean, I could be very much swayed by the next hand in the hotel door. You know, who knows what else her mom's going to be doing that'll make me change my mind.
I know.
You do. Oh, okay, this is a good point to bring up logistics. There's some logistics other than driving that we need to figure out with these two episodes. So the first one is the reveal of John Smith being a woman, right? Why did anyone have their name as John Smith at that address anymore then? Because wouldn't you assume that they would be, a woman's name, Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Mary Smith. Like, why? Yeah, so that seems weird to me that they'd be chasing after a John Smith when John Smith technically doesn't exist anymore or is a different person, you know?
Right. Unless for some reason when they set up their new name, new identity, that they had a forwarding. But I feel like the forwarding would have run out, because I know usually for mail they give you like a 6-month forwarding period for like new addresses or anything like that. So I don't know. I can't answer that.
She could have lived there when she was still John Smith, like while she was making the transition. And then it just somehow never got changed.
Or they just delivered it to the address and had the wrong name.
I guess that when you change your name, when you're married to a different last name, that you're still going to get mail for the rest of your life as the wrong last name. So what's to say that you couldn't get the wrong first name too, you know?
Yeah.
So that could be that explanation. I wish that Veronica Mars explained that just with a quick little, so how come your name's still John Smith? Oh, that was my mail. But I mean, maybe that wouldn't be appropriate for that reunion moment.
Yeah. That might not be an appropriate question at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. And then my other moment was, why was the license plate for Veronica Mars's mother's car at the friend's house? Did Veronica Mars's mom, wow, I need a better name for that. Why am I calling Veronica Mars?
I'll find out her name because I can't remember it at the moment, and you can call her that.
Okay. Well, why did Veronica's mom leave her car at the friend's house to abandon it to make it, you know, even more hard to track her in the future? Like, if it's that difficult, you can switch license plates at the DMV. I've just done it recently. It wasn't that big of a deal, you know, so... I just don't see why abandoning a whole car for the license plates was really worth it. Get a paint job. I don't know. Do something different to the car. You don't have to waste that whole entire car to get rid of it. Is that what she was doing, though?
Maybe it was a gift. Like she didn't pay rent for the whole year she was there, so she's like, have my car.
Oh, okay. That's actually a really realistic explanation.
Leanne. Her name is Leanne. I can't believe I forgot that, but her name is Leanne.
Oh, no. Now, see, it's so hard for you not to spoil us, but I feel like by you telling us her name and saying that you can't believe you forgot it, she's important, and she's going to show up more than we think she's going to right now.
She has to
show up. She has to, though. You know what? That's not too much of a spoiler.
She's Chekhov's gun. She has to show off.
You're right. You're right. She's like one of the many Chekhov's guns we have in this show. Who's the rapist? Where's Veronica's mother? Who killed, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So, sort of spoiler, but not really. I think... they might have said her name before, but yeah.
You know, they probably did. I'm sure that there was someone... I'm sure that the father said that during the flashback, that Veronica's dad was just like, Leanne, you better stay here. Come on, we have a daughter, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, and that brings up one last logistic point. Okay. I think... okay, so... when Veronica was watching, in that flashback, she was watching the news, and she sees... what I think is a different person being arrested for the murder of Lily, right? Is that what was happening? Because of what evidence and who planted it, right? I don't know those answers yet, maybe, but...
This was when she was kind of sitting watching the TV and her parents were fighting, correct?
Right. And she's like, Dad, come here.
Yes. So what the news showed was that Sheriff Lamb had taken in... off of an anonymous tip, they found Louis Kane's murderer.
Okay.
And so they took him in and they showed that, like, he had her shoes or something on his houseboat. And they found it there because the anonymous tip told them to go there.
So the fact that he had her shoes showed that he was trying to hide the body, or that he had some kind of, I don't know, let's say was keeping her
fetish.
Prison or fetish with her, or like what was going on with that? Is there something non-spoilery you can tell us yet, or just don't respond if you can't?
No, it's fine. I'm trying to, a lot of the episodes run together in my mind, so that really stinks at points. But I believe that they did say that he had worked for the Canes and had been recently laid off.
Oh, okay. So that puts it more in context. All right. Now right. I know what's going on with who everyone thinks did that murder. All right. Yeah. So sorry for those logistics. I just feel like I needed to get those eggs in order so that I could count my chickens or whatever that saying is.
Yeah. Something like that. But yes, no, I believe that that's what they were saying on that newscast. If I spoiled you a little bit, I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. That's not
Gabrielle's not here, but it's not something really major where it's going to ruin every right. single thing. But
yeah, I think Adiana and I will agree that that didn't spoil us, right?
Nah. Yeah, but the man, his name is Abel Kuntz. He had worked for the Canes, and they found her stuff on his boat.
Okay, we'll take that.
Yeah. Long story short. All right, so let's move on. And let's talk about Wallace.
Yay,
good old Wallace. So
full of love and hugs.
So by this point, we see how Wallace is starting to help Veronica, pretty much no questions asked. Well, no real questions asked, with whatever she needs. So do we see him, like his relationship with Veronica as kind of a Watson to Sherlock sort of thing? Or how do we see Wallace in terms of Veronica and her schemes?
I think definitely, because he does like doing it, but she kind of manipulates him. But he likes being manipulated. He likes being in her adventures. He gets a thrill out of it, I think. But he also likes kind of taking the high and mighty route. Like, you know this is wrong, right? But then he does it anyway.
Yeah, and I agree with Adiana that he really fits into not an archetype, I'd say, but into that necessary sidekick role. And it's nice that they have a platonic relationship. But if you're following canon of the TV show Sherlock, and I really hope this isn't a spoiler for anyone to watch that show. But
I don't, but so tread lightly. or maybe not, because I don't know.
This is going to be a spoiler. I won't say it. Okay. Anyways, I think anyone who knows what I wanted to say that's watched the show will know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, tweet me and I'll like PM you or something. I don't know. if you're really that curious. Anyways, so yes, I think Watson does kind of reflect in Wallace a little bit, but not to the umpteenth degree. I really wish I could spoil that thing I'm thinking of.
I feel like what you're thinking of isn't actually a spoiler.
Okay, can I say it then?
Yes, just say it.
That in Sherlock, this is what I've heard on press, so this could be wrong. I don't watch the show. In Sherlock...
Oh, I do, so just say it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going for it. Doesn't Sherlock have a romantic interest in Watson at one point? Isn't he... Well, it's almost confirmed that Sherlock is homosexual, so that he could have an interest in Watson. And I was trying to say that that doesn't reflect back in Veronica Wallace, because I see that as always being platonic, and that's the major difference I see of those two relationships. But then again, that's just following that version of Sherlock, and I don't know.
It's not really confirmed. It's, like, hinted at, and the fans all wish it was true, but Sherlock has kind of, has, like, an ambiguous sexuality where you're not sure if he's gay or straight or bi. I mean, he does also have an interest in Irene Adler, but that's kind of a weird relationship, too. He's just, like, a weird kind of guy.
But you guys agree, though. You couldn't really see Veronica and Wallace together because they work too well as comrades to fit into that little mold.
Yeah,
right?
I think it would be weird if they were together. They have too much of like a sibling relationship now at this point.
Right, and she's the protector of him in a lot of ways.
Yeah, maybe that's why, because she's more like the big sister. But yeah. maybe later on, if they have more of an equalizing relationship, like on Kim Possible.
Oh, that's a great reference. That's a great reference.
That's a really great reference.
I think that's a better duo for what they are. Yeah. It really is. Think about it. No, Veronica it is so Kim Possible because she is that strong, you know, uncommon female lead who's going to be much stronger, smarter, and wittier than her male counterparts. And she's basically helping out Ron Stoppable whenever she can by getting him out of being tied up in the flagpole. Like, that's such a Ron Stoppable thing. I think that if anything, though, we found a better duo though than Sherlock to compare them to. That was great, Adriana.
That was great. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to spoil
you.
It one
thank
way
you
or another. Yeah, but no, that was a. I like that insight, even if it may or may not be true. I like that insight for what it is.
Well, if we're talking not Veronica Mars, but Kim Possible. Adriana, don't Kim Possible and Ron Stoppable end up getting together in the end?
They do end up getting together. Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of icky when they did it. But
it's weird. But
it is weird.
Kind of endearing at the same time.
Yeah, it's like both. I don't know.
And that's weird. It's like a Disney Channel ship, so I don't know if it's like as to the same seriousness as this is. I don't think so. So it's comparable to a certain level.
Yeah.
The relationship is, at least.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Troy. We see more of him in this episode than we saw in the last one. And we kind of see Veronica interact with him more. I was going to ask if we think he's too good to be true, but I feel like we kind of already discussed that last time, because you guys are still a little sketchy on him, correct?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Veronica Mars is singing that Four Seasons songs to him right now. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Like Heath Ledger in 10 Things I Hate About You?
yes.
Can we do it that way?
Woo! Yeah, so I think he's going to have some big old skeleton. I don't know what it is yet, because I don't think these episodes really shed any light on that. Other than, he's a little bit stalkery. And when I say by a little bit, I mean by something I'm going to talk about later on in my favorite line, but he is just like, okay, I'm taking your phone number now. And he does something else really weird too. shoot, this might come out in episode 104. That is 104. We'll save that for 104 because I think he did something a little bit creepier, you know? And the fact that he isn't on the DVD box means he's destined to be bad news. I see your next note is, yeah. Okay, here's the thing. I avoid DVD boxes like they're the plague. I don't want to know who's in every season. I don't want to know who survives. And I just, but yes, now that you've semi-spoiled me unintentionally and I forgive you.
That was me. I'm sorry. I don't know anything.
You're fine.
Okay, I'll let you finish and then I'll go on my rant, but.
It's okay. I take plenty of time to do those. I think he's very much bad news because he's not on the DVD box. That's it.
Well, I mean, you've pretty much convinced me, Mitch, that he's evil. And I think that in the fourth episode, I was definitely more like, oh, he's kind of creepy. But in this episode, I absolutely loved him. And I wanted to like him so much, especially because he's played by Aaron Ashmore, who just plays so many wonderful characters. Like Jimmy Olsen in Smallville. Callback. Yes, he's an X-Men. He's just wonderful. So I want to like him. And he says such cute things. And he has such a great rapport with Veronica. But like the thing on the DVD box, that really got me. Because he showed up in the second episode. So he should have totally been on the DVD box. But he's not, which must mean he's evil.
It really does. Because I can think of a million examples of like a group cast where the one character that's the betrayer is not shown on the DVD box because they're meant to be a minor character. And I'm just going to spoil every show ever if I go through an example. I'll give the context. Teen Wolf season 2, there's a character that happens to. And I hope that wasn't too much of a spoiler, but what's our spoiler rule? I mean, it's for other shows too. It's hard, like in general, because I know we're going to be making a lot of references to other shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to say that if it's like a year old, we're fine. And I think we're there for every single show I'm mentioning.
I think if it's a year old, you're pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, I won't give the exact spoiler, but that's the best I can give you guys. And if you know what I'm talking about, I think that's exactly where Veronica Mars sits. You guys don't do Teen Wolf, I don't think, right?
No.
I don't. And when it comes to spoilers, like, I personally don't mind them. If it's a show that's been, like you said, if it's like a year old kind of spoiler, that stuff I don't mind. I mean, I will probably go end up watching a bunch of stuff. I really want to do that, like, all the time. But I just don't know how listeners feel, because everybody has their own feelings about it. But if you bring up stuff like that, I'm okay with it.
I will tread lightly, like I said with that Sherlock thing. I will not jump headfirst into one. I will make sure that you guys think it's legitimate, and if anyone's complaining in the comments, we will listen.
Maybe you can say, like, mute for 10 seconds if you don't want to know.
Mute for 10 seconds if you don't want to know. Well, that's like a, what is it, a TV trope for rewatchable. Mute for 10 seconds.
Sponsored by WB Store.
Sponsored by WB. Hulu Plus. I do a good Hulu Plus guy voice.
Yeah, you do, actually. You'll be the Hulu Plus guy, and I'll be the Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars is brought to you with limited commercial interruptions by...
Oh, that reminds me, because we didn't talk about this in the pilot, and I feel like people will be angry. The voiceover is Veronica Mars. Did you not have a Gossip Girl flashback if you watched Gossip Girl?
I didn't even watch that show, and I had that feeling.
It was so bizarre and great and wonderful.
Gabrielle Marima and I were actually tweeting about that. I think I saw them last night. Marima really didn't like the voiceovers. And I can understand why. They do give me a Gossip Girl flashback. But I don't quote me on it, but I don't think they last for a lot longer. At least they're not as prevalent as they were in the pilot.
Aww, really?
No, I can see that already. I was noticing that because I felt like they used it too much, but I think that now it's getting a lot better.
When they choose to
use it.
Yeah. In terms of the pilot, I think it was very necessary because there are so many details and there are only so many things you can actually show on screen. And just having her kind of do quick voiceover explaining what was going on or how she was feeling or anything like that, anything they couldn't show, I think voiceover was a good choice for the pilot. But I do think that moving on, they do not use the voiceover as much because you're kind of already caught up. You're in the moment. your Wallace. So you kind of figured out the past and you're trying to move forward. So,
Oh yeah. Good point again, that we are Wallace and we are up to Veronica's speed because we're buddy buddy with her at this point, and she doesn't have to betray the viewer yet. She doesn't have to hide anything. She's not cleaning off her bloody hands in a pool at the end of the episode or anything right now, because we see everything that she does because she trusts the world really right now. She's happy. She's Wallace. She's Troy. She's actually at a good place, I think, in these episodes.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole year before Wallace comes in, before we come in, there has been like a little less than a year since Lily has died. And so nothing has really happened then. So we can assume that everything is starting to pick up now. So we're kind of in the thick of it rather than still trying to catch up. So in terms of voiceovers,
and I hate this, I hate to bring it in again, but I just see a direct reference. Well, that Pretty Little Liars takes to, I know everyone's probably smacking their heads. How many times is Mitch going to bring up the show? I just realized this very obvious plot point that Pretty Little Liars also takes place about a year after the main death. And it seems like the events always seem to pick up, right around then. There aren't exactly voiceovers in that show though. It's weird that the way they did that in any other show that jumps ahead like a year. I'm not sure the best way to handle it, whether voiceovers are better or if just jumping into the characters' lives are. I like to say that a voiceover in a pilot for an episode that jumps a year ahead of a flashback does help out the show, because it puts you in those tumultuous shoes of that character. You're trying to get used to them, you're trying to feel them out, and you need to know learn their character, not only from their actions, but from their inner thoughts. I think it's important that we had that voiceover in the beginning.
I do too. And I mean, to throw in my own reference, if anybody has watched, well, I mean, a lot of people have, but Vampire Diaries, when they first started, the first episode, if you go back and watch it, is very voiceover heavy.
Brooding voiceover heavy.
Yes, because you have the two main characters writing in their journals, and you're hearing everything that they're writing, and they're kind of going through where they've been and how they feel at that moment. And then obviously now with everything going on, there are no voiceovers. So.
But that was way too much.
That's a good example
of like a bad pilot. I hate that pilot. It's such a good show because of its deep mythology, etc. But it's just not a good pilot, guys. Don't be scared away from that pilot. Watch episode 2 and I swear it gets about 20,000 times better. It really does.
That's a good to know, because I was definitely scared away by the pilot.
You really should be. Yeah, absolutely should be. Not that that's scary. Well, kind of is. But
that's voiceover gone really wrong. It feels just awkward. Yeah. Whereas Veronica Mars, it fits and you're okay with it. You go with it. I mean, you could get sick of it if it keeps persisting, but it doesn't, so it's okay.
But you know, there are always shows like, let's say, Lizzie McGuire that have consistent voiceover that do excellent. I'm not sure to the extent Gossip Girl goes into, but if it does what Lizzie McGuire did and it has quick little quibs from Lizzie's inner cartoon, then I'd love that. But that, I mean, that makes it more Sex the City to me, though. That makes it more whimsical and... Yeah, so, yeah, voiceovers in TV shows are just such a weird thing. I never think about them, but when they happen and they're bad, you realize them. But when they're good, like in, you know, the first episode of Veronica Mars, you're just like, ah, cool, it worked.
Or, like, I thought it was really good in this one, which I thought was a perfect example of voiceover, where she's driving him in the car, right? And then he asks her, like, do you ever think about us? And then she, like, flashes through all these things in her voiceover, like, and then she just goes, no.
Mm-hmm. So, like,
we know that
says,
she does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the quotes exactly.
Yeah.
No, that was a good point.
Her voiceover recalls, like, all the bad things that he's done to her and, like, all these things. And then you just hear her answer no. So, I agree. Right. I think it's well done when they use it, but they will start using it less, I think. Or about the same amount as they do in, like, episodes 3 and 4, maybe a little less.
It's so weird, though. Like, I don't realize how well written Veronica Mars is until I take this step back with you guys and I look at little things like that and how it had to be constructed perfectly, and I'm just like, WOW, holy crap.
Rob Thomas is the man.
He is insane.
I mean, I wouldn't say his writer staff, but
I'd like to try and compare him to the Newsroom writer, Aaron Sorkin, in that he sets up plots in such an interesting way that you actually care about it. That there's never like a plot about a character that, even if you don't like them, you don't care about it. You know, you always care about what's happening in that plot. And then that's where I see a Sorkin-like way in this EP. Do you guys see where I'm coming from?
I do. I agree. Like, there's some characters that I really, I don't like, but you get invested. Like, episode 2 with Chardo. Didn't really like him, but it's written in a way where you get invested, and it's not like you don't care about what's going on, because you do, even though you're not necessarily a fan of Chardo or Paris Hilton. So.
Or Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton. She was great. When I say great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. I still cared. I still care when she brooded out that window. Yeah, it's weird. Very weird.
The window. Oh, my God. The window.
The window. To the wall. To the
to the wall. All right. Let's move on from voiceovers, and let's talk about Duncan. Let's check in on Duncan. So in this one, he went off his meds, and he was livelier. And I liked him lively. I think he's hilarious.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think some of the things that he did, you kind of saw more about him than you did when he was just stoic and not talking and kind of zoned out.
Didn't you guys love Summer Lovin' Happened
So
Fast?
I wanted him to start singing.
Oh, I did too.
That was so funny. That was like, great.
It's things like that. I've always liked Duncan. And this episode has been one of my favorite episodes dealing with Duncan because of how personable he is. Like, he's not just some guy who's had bad stuff happen to him and who's not really dealing with it. Like, this episode shows him as more of a real person.
Right, and this is our first glimpse at that, because before this, he really didn't have a personality other than that derpy boy swimming in the pool. That's all I can think of. And
yeah. He liked burritos.
Yeah, he likes burritos, though. You're right. I always forget about the burritos. Yeah, it's synonymous in my brain now. Burritos, Dunkin'. I'm never going to be able to eat them. They should serve burritos at Dunkin' Donuts, and I would just be so pleased. Which they don't have in the OC, so they can't even eat there in Veronica Mars. Yeah, it's really upsetting. Don't move here.
Dunkin' Donuts?
No, you can't.
They just opened one by my house, and I can't wait to go.
They can't bring Dunkin' to Dunkin' Donuts in Veronica Mars because they aren't here. Ugh.
No.
That's the ultimate pun. Like, they could just bring them there and not say anything and just let us get it.
Or, like, drive past it and have Dunkin' go, huh.
Yes, I know. Just something funny like that. I'd love that. But that's tangent. That's tangential. Is that a word too? That sounds really fancy. I like that.
Tangential.
Tangential, huh?
Gentle. I think it's
a word.
Tentacle.
Tentacle. So yeah, we're never going to see Dunkin' Donuts, but that's okay because Dunkin' will still have a lot of burrito moments again. You know, where he'll basically humanize himself by a small line. I think those are the moments that we're talking about. The seven guys in a bleacher, you know what this reminds me of? Like, those are the things that humanize a character to where we love them. It's not the actions they do, it's just those cute little quips, you know?
Yes, that's how I fall in love with characters. That's why my favorite characters, like, have those types of things. It's not the things they do, but it's, like, things about them that you just can't get enough of or that you enjoy.
Absolutely.
But judging from his personality, why do you think he went off the meds? Was it because he felt that he was being too, like, lethargic on them? Did he want his personality back?
I think so. Part of me thinks it's that. Part of me thinks it's that his mom was forcing him, or, like, really into him taking his meds, or his parents had a lot of control. Because I think it was this episode where he's in the pool and his dad comes up to him and he puts his headphones in. Is that this episode? Yeah.
Is he strangely listening to his iPod in the pool as it's getting wet? Yeah. I'm like, what?
That's dangerous, isn't it?
I don't know if you would get hurt, but for the iPod, it's dangerous.
For the iPod, yeah. I caught that this time around. I was like, oh, no. But I think it shows him trying to get away from his parents' control, especially now since his sister died. So their attention is all on him all the time. So I think it could be one way of rebellion, and also because he doesn't feel like himself.
Yeah, yeah. Really good points. I think that Duncan just needs to branch out and grow up a little bit more, and that's one way of him doing that, by getting out of his parents' control.
And speaking of a sister dying, what do you think Lily showing up in his hallucinations, what do you think that means? I mean, I guess especially for Mitch, because you can't really tell us, Danielle, that what she's talking about.
I'll think of what I can say, but you guys go ahead.
Danielle, you can comment on this. It was a little bit nasty when he went to almost, you know, go out and touch her to see if she was real, and her hair was bloody and it was in hunks, and she, you know, look, if she was real, probably would have gotten blood all over him because she was laying right on him with her bloody head. And her blood's literally still dripping out of her head. And I was just kind of grossed out a little bit. I know it's not like Vampire Diaries gross out, but it's still.
It was terrifying. Right. With the music and everything going on.
Oh, yeah. Hallucinations in any kind of show can be really scary. It's like Stephen King-ish when you do that, if you ask me. And I think that Amanda Seyfried is doing a really good job of acting as a ghost character in this show. I'm glad they kept her on because she is needed for Duncan's history. You needed a physical representation of how he's feeling about his sister's death.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I can say.
I just thought she was so great in this. She showed us, I feel like, all of Lily's personality in 2 minutes. We got to know her. Mm-hmm. And I finally understood why Veronica would be friends with someone like her, because she wasn't just like, you know what I mean, just the stereotypical popular girl.
Yeah.
She's like a real person, and she's funny and she's witty. So I got it.
So I guess my question was worth this. Why do you think Duncan hallucinated Lily in that state? Like, do you have any theories as to why?
Well, if you know Rent, there is a point where I'm not even spoiler alerting this one. It's Rent.
It's fine.
It's been out for like 10 years or more.
It's fine. I've seen that one.
Well, at one point, a character breaks a fever during her recovery from not using drugs, or maybe she has AIDS or something that's making her sick. Regardless, I would imagine she was having hallucinations in her brain during that, and when her fever broke, that those would break. And that's the same feeling I was getting from Duncan, that he was just withdrawal, but with drugs.
Yeah, it was a side effect. The doctor said it was a side effect of
right, and that was just like his fever breaking, him reaching the point where he could have no longer taken those drugs, if you ask me. Like, him waking up when Lily said, "Wake up, Duncan, what are you doing to yourself? Wake up." That was the moment where he could have made that choice. I could now decide if I want to take these drugs or not. And I'm a bit upset that, you know, he decided to take them again. And that it adds depth to him, but it also feels like it was all of a dream kind of an episode, you know, where everything that happened to that character didn't end up mattering because it didn't change them in the end, at least not immediately.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Ariana, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, I just think he's hallucinating. I don't know. I think there's something else going on to this because, I mean, obviously he saw her like that because she was right there at the pool. He had to have seen her, and I imagine he can't get that image out of his mind, but there is something weird going on with the Canes, and I mean, I think we can discuss this more in episode 4, but I don't feel like they are malicious toward Lily. I don't feel like there was, I mean, I want to believe Papa Mars because, you know, Veronica has,
Mars.
Yes, and Veronica staked her whole life on this belief that, you know, the Canes did it. But I cannot bring myself to believe that any of them would hurt Lily willingly because they all seem to love her so much. But maybe Duncan knows something about what happened. But no, he can't know what happened because she's like, there's something fishy about this, isn't there? Like, investigate it. That sounded to me like what she was telling him, like, wake up, there's something weird happening to what happened to me, figure it out.
Right.
So hopefully he'll team up with Veronica later and try and figure it out. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. So do you see his going back on drugs in any relation to like Lily? Like, why do you think he was jarred by Lily so much that he would go back on the drugs?
I mean, I would go back on the drugs. That's terrifying.
Just because of the hallucination. Yeah.
That is terrifying.
I wouldn't have, though, because I would have thought, I am stronger than this. I can deal with these demons, and I don't need a drug to hide those demons for me. And that's what he's doing and taking them.
I mean, I don't think that we should be telling people, though, that it's a weakness to take antidepressants. Like,
No, not at all.
If the doctor said he needs these, and, I mean, if he's having hallucinations, I mean, this could legitimately be true, but this isn't like Harry Potter. It's not like a prophecy.
Or any kind of seeing visions of a dead girl. Right.
That's bad. This is a real story. Or I'm not a real story. You know what I mean? Like in real life, supposedly real life.
That's a good point for you to bring up. Yeah.
You're really good at changing my mind on things. You know that, Ariana?
I mean, you convince me of everything, so.
It's a vicious circle.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I could see where you're coming from, Ariana, that in the end, he went back on his drugs because this wasn't anything supernatural, and as much as this is a TV show, it's supposed to represent real people who deal with real issues like depression and drugs that take them off of depression and hallucinations from those and et cetera. So,
yeah,
that's scary. You're right. I see it in a different light now.
Right. Well, let's wrap up Meet John Smith so we can move on to the fourth episode. But before we do, favorite scenes of this episode. Mine was when Wallace was reading through Veronica's permanent file. I thought that showed a lot about the two of them together. And it just, it's another one of those things where it's a love. It makes me love Wallace even more if it's possible. So that was mine.
He's very lovable.
Yes, he is.
He'll do anything for his really good friends, even if he feels like he's going to get in trouble for it. And that's kind of sweet to know that he would do that, you know?
Yeah. Favorite scene, Smitch? Or favorite scene?
Yeah, so my favorite scene from this episode was when Veronica was speaking to John Smith in the garage. The power that she held over that man in just knowing his name brought me back to a strong Dumbledore quote that I'm not going to directly quote because I can't remember it. But or maybe it was just Dumbledore philosophy. And it was – or maybe even J.K. Rowling. They're kind of the same person.
Yeah.
It was just something about the power of a name and knowing someone's name or being able to control them from that. And maybe I'm thinking of a different series. It's kind of ringing true in a couple series right now in my brain. But like something about like knowing someone's true name, you can control them. What am I thinking of? Do you guys know?
Obviously, it sounds to vaguely knowing, familiar, but I'm not sure.
Obviously, it's some kind of cheesy movie, I think. But obviously, it relates to knowing the name Voldemort and being able to control him or not control him, being controlled by him.
It sounds like a Rumpelstiltskin kind of thing.
It's kind of Rumpelstiltskin, but it's more modern. There's something else right. That's the series. Yeah. I know someone listening is going to know the series I'm talking about. Please,
and if they do, please tell us.
Please, I'm going to be dying thinking of this now. I need to know.
Bug me. And Ariana, favorite scene?
Mine was the Lily hallucination. It was somewhat like simultaneously terrifying and hilarious. I was so terrified. I had to like take out my earplugs and have it like with the laptop speaking.
Aww.
Because I was like, someone's going to come and get me and kill me while I'm watching this. That's what I always think when I watch scary movies. And,
oh my God, she was so funny.
I know. I can't even watch like commercials for scary movies.
But I can't either. I can't do them at all.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. See, the thing is, like, I watch all the scary movies in the world, and then I'm all brave and, you know, cool, and I'm watching those. And then I get home alone, and I'm just like, ah! And I remember the series, but I don't think you guys are going to know it, because it's anime, and it's Death Note, because if you know someone's name in that series, you can write it down in a notebook, and they'll die. Oh!
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, rather morbid. So I don't think Veronica was really looking to kill who she thought was John Smith.
No.
Hey, why don't we ever find out his name is just not important? Because, like, he stopped to pause to think about John Smith, but maybe that was just important because it showed that she knew who used to be John Smith, right?
I think so, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I'm glad I thought of this series, and I want us to write in about that now.
Yeah. All right, so we move We did favorite scenes, now favorite lines.
Okay, so mine is... Yes. Get ready, guys.
Please, your best impression. Go.
Oh, I don't know if I know them well enough to do an impression. I could do a really good Kristen Bell, I'm sure. Okay, here we go. Troy, let me see your phone. Veronica, what are you doing? He adds his phone number to your phone. It's now booty call enabled.
Slimy.
Creepy, deepy, slimy, rhymy. Don't like this. Yeah. Booty call enabled. I mean...
If someone did that to me, I would probably slap them and walk away.
She has so many reasons to not like that. So many reasons.
Yeah.
She was raped. I'm sorry. That is a large thing for someone to get over with. Okay? You can't just say, I want to go get booty called after you've been raped. No, that is...
But he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that, but the way she laughs at it, it's just like, oh, that's cute. I'm like, major plot discrepancy here. Veronica,
yeah, that was a little out of character.
Veronica shouldn't be this giggly about something sexual. She should be as disturbed as, I'm assuming, someone that is raped would feel. I mean, maybe this is something about her trying to get back to normalcy, trying to trust people again, etc., etc. But to me, he came off a little bit too strong for someone that might be as jaded as she is. And I know that, you know, talking about rape is a very sensitive topic. I don't mean to be insensitive towards that or what someone that was raped can or can't think, because there's always individual right. situations. But with this situation, it came off as him being too strong and him trying to get with her a little bit too much, and she shouldn't, in my opinion, have reacted the way she did. And that's why it's my favorite quote, because it just brought up so many more points about why Troy had to have been her horrible rapist. Thus proving Ariana is my point, and Gabrielle is going to remain silent, and so will Danielle, and so will you guys are the only super fans, so yeah, we'll make sure you don't spoil us on that. And Selena, oh, geez, I'll have to make sure I'm really careful when they're on, all three of you.
Yeah. All right, Ariana, favorite lines?
Okay, well, I have two. I love the one when she's, like, asking Wallace to do go get her permanent file, and he's like, oh, yeah, no big deal, I could get expelled for that, because that's pretty much, like, Veronica's philosophy. But I just thought it was so funny. He's getting into it now. And I also like the one, you can help me out with this one, Danielle.
Oh,
I'll
yes.
be Veronica, and you can be Okay. So she's like, you know, Dad, I'm old school. An eye for an eye.
I think that's actually Old Testament.
Oh!
I love that line so much. That was actually mine. And then I saw that you'd put that one down. So I'm glad you did, but I'm also sad that you did.
We tag teamed it. It was fun.
We did. It was great. And then I liked Veronica's line. Wallace is a friend of mine. And then she performs like some sort of martial arts gesture. Like she does this on occasion. So it's not the first time you see it. But then she goes, take that, high school guidance counselor.
I love that line.
That's cute. That's cute.
It's so cute.
That's like power to the man or against the man.
What now? All right. So let's move on to episode 4, The Wrath of Khan. Let's go quickly through the synopsis and we'll get discussing. All right, Wrath of Khan. In this episode, Veronica and Troy become closer, much to the annoyance of Veronica's protective father. When Troy asks her to the homecoming dance, Veronica is reminded of the last homecoming dance she went to with Lily, Duncan, and Logan. And we get to see more of Lily's colorful and vibrant personality in the homecoming flashbacks. The mystery of the week involves Wallace's longtime crush, Georgia, who's been swindled out of $6,000. Veronica discovers that the perpetrators are two college students who have created a new game and used stolen money of naive strangers and as startup cash. So Veronica and Wallace go undercover, and after stealing the hard drive from the gamers, end up recovering George's money. Meanwhile, Logan is tasked with creating an in-remembrance video for Lily, and when he becomes disappointed with the saturated view of Lily that her mother wants to portray at the memorial, Veronica gives him some of her own videos of Lily at her happiest. When the final video is shown at the dedication for Lily's memorial fountain, everyone loves Logan's videos, Logan's video, including Lily's parents. And the video is kind of serious in the beginning, but then goes into more of Lily's wild side, which gets everybody going. And then at the end of the episode, as Veronica and her three new friends, which are Georgia, Wallace, and her date, Troy, leave for the homecoming dance. Yeah, in a limo. Veronica gets out on the beach and goes skinny dipping solo in remembrance of Lily. So, first thoughts about the episode.
Ariana, I'll let you go first so I don't open up the can of worms and take all your points.
Okay, can we just take a moment and pause? Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen The Proud Family on Disney Channel. Yeah. This is just like the Disney Channel callback show now. But I was so excited. I was like, Penny Proud, woo! So I was excited.
Yes!
Talk about your strong female leads, eh?
Yeah, she was cute and loud, and she had it going on.
And she had a big, loud mouth. Like, when she yelled at people, her mouth would get so big in a cartoon. She'd be like, rah, rah, rah.
It would, like, take over her whole face.
It was great. Yeah, I loved listening to her. She was just the best. Yeah, it was great hearing her, well, seeing her in person. And she's done a lot of movies, Disney Channel-wise and stuff. So I knew realized what she looked like before this, and it was really exciting to see her in there. I like to say she also did an episode of Grey's Anatomy, but who didn't at this point?
Yeah. That's a better question.
Yeah, that was cute. It was cute.
Yeah, that was good. Let's see.
And the whole time I was just...
Yeah? No, go ahead.
I just thought of something else, too. The whole time that this episode was happening, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, on that midnight train to Georgia, singing on the midnight train. Because her name was Georgia. I was like, ah, cute.
I love that song.
I know, it's so catchy. When everyone says the state or the name Georgia, it's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Good.
It was cute. So it just made her even more fun when she was on screen, because she was just like so cute and naive. She really was. And she was, and she was with Wallace in the office, and she's like, I just dropped 4 of your piles. And he's like, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm with you. I was like, oh, that's so sweet, because she like cares to apologize, but he just is so chivalrous about it. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I like the fact that she's naive, and you can tell that she's really, really nice, like as a person. But it did, the whole mystery of the week surrounding her really did kind of bother me. Mm. The fact that she gave $6,000 to a stranger.
I know, how dumb do you have to be?
I've been in the middle of something like this where I was stupid, but I would have never outright given someone $6,000.
Mm.
Like, I know that people fall for these things. I've fallen for something like this before, but not something where it's, hey, I don't know you, and this is an email, and I need $6,000.
No, because they weren't even like, there's ones that are much better at this. Like, I was just hearing about one where they do like a medical alert system for seniors. So they like send them the medical alert system, but it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And then they just keep collecting statements every year. Or like another one where you pretend to be someone's credit card company. But he was just like, I come into my trust fund next week. So next week you get $12,000. Why would anyone do that? Like, why would they give you twice as much money for a week from now?
I mean, I guess it kind of happens in gambling lives and all that. You know, people
I guess that's true.
Who have an addiction to gambling or something, or just really want money in general, will, you know, just beg people for money and promise to pay it back in double. And it's a good way to get people to not like you.
But I forgave her because she was young. And, I mean, she is naive. She's in high school.
Oh, right.
So she hasn't had a lot of life experience.
She hasn't, and this kind of grows you. So maybe you're learning not to go and give money to those Nigerians looking to dig for gold or whatever that infamous email is, right?
Yeah, or here, take this check and do something with it. Mm. Like anything like that. It's hopefully now people have more red flags, and so maybe it's a like looking back retrospective kind of thing where we're saying that like she shouldn't have fallen for it, but
That's true. This was like pre-Facebook.
Yeah. it just bothered me.
Is now a good point to talk about Veronica's investigation of this, since we don't really have too many points written in about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So Veronica chooses to do a whole bunch of things to try and nail down what's happening with this. And isn't the first that... She dresses up in two costumes, and I think the first is when she dresses up as Amber, and she calls the number for this scam, and she's like, hi, this is Amber! I'd love, like, totally to give you that money! And then she dresses up, she has, like, this cute blonde curl going on, and this little dress, and she shows up to that guy who's the actor, and he's like, oh, I was told that this is just a whodunit show, and how stupid can you be show, and basically like punked.
Yeah, and basically.
And that's why Georgia ended up giving him the money. And that was fun because it was just a cool way to see Veronica in one costume. And we'll go on to, the next costume after we talk about our thoughts on this. So what else did you think about when she was dressed up as Amber and how she acted Ariana?
Oh, I thought it was funny. I thought she was cute.
Yeah, yeah, she's adorable. She looks older than she really is in that scene, right?
I think, yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's just like the way that her hair is done.
I know. How funny, though.
Her portrayal of a dumb blonde is fantastic. And yeah. I will say that in costumes, it does come back, like just with Mysteries of the Week. So that's something to look forward to. It's not spoilery, I promise.
Oh, Amber comes back?
An Amber-like character that I can think of off the top of my head right now, or a persona that she puts on for a Mystery of the Week.
Nice.
Yeah, because she just does it so well.
Nice.
So well. But no, I love her Amber character in this one.
Okay, so then the next costume that she wears is as Gamer Girl. She's wearing like that classic, like I think of Hilary Duff in the music video with Love. She's wearing the black wig that has cropped bangs and has a bob cut. It's just pure black, and she looks so intense and not goth, but like sexy and suave and, you know, I'll kick your butt kind of deal. Like a Korra from the Tron Legacy. So she goes to basically bust where the actor leads her to find out who is the gaming person. And the person who's playing such and such a game will be the code name that the actor led her onto or something. So anyways, she's playing this game next to boys, and she's playing it up, and she's playing up her sex appeal because she knows that all these, let's just call them geeks. I know it's a little bit offensive. The geeks in the basement, right, are playing their games, and they love chicks. So, like, a hot chick is the best thing to them. So she's playing this game, and she's so funny because she – I can relate to this, too – is purposely playing the game bad to kind of get the boys' attention, but to try and find out who the real – I don't remember his real name, but let's just call him Game Guy is.
Grant.
What was it? Well, Grant, right. She's trying to find who Grant is. And here, Daniel, you take over from there on, because I feel like you could probably summarize it in a little bit better way, because you're, you know, hosting, and I'm just kind of going at
it. Oh, no, it's cool. Yeah, so she walks in. It's like a gamer club. It's like an underground club. She walks in, and she has this email that was sent to that actor, and it was from an email at that club. And so it was like Grantula was the email, and there happened to have been a player called Grant. So, I mean, you put two and two together, and it's the same person. So she intentionally keeps killing him, even though he's on our team, so she can get a rise out of him and figure out who he is, which is a great way to go about it. And she just pulls it off so well.
I'm really bad at this.
I've actually read a few articles where it's like, you know, if you want to jump into a series and you don't have access to the pilot, or if you want to jump in at one of the best episodes, this one is actually named quite a few times because of her portrayal as Gamer Girl, because you get a really great look at her range of personalities.
Yeah.
From Amber to Gamer Girl to her in real life, her in flashbacks.
Like,
this is one of the best episodes to kind of jump into.
Kristen Bell, everybody.
It gave so much of her background too, and just the whole story's background in this episode. Like with Lily, I think that this one was definitely, we finally got to see her whole personality and just how colorful and vibrant she is. And we understand like why Logan would be so in love with her and wouldn't be able to quite move on. And why Veronica, why she was such best friends with Veronica. And why Duncan would miss his sister so much. She was such a big personality.
Yeah.
And we're also forgetting about one last costume. She's in five personalities in this episode because she's also the geek girl who goes to the frosh party or whatever is going on. Yeah, so she's a lot of personalities, and it fit. It didn't feel awkward. It felt real. Yeah. And it felt like it wasn't forced. It was so cool. Oh, that's great.
And she calls Wallace at some point like Big Papa or something.
Take me home, Big Papa.
Yeah.
As they laugh like a witch.
No, but I could totally see why this would be rated as one of the best to jump into, because you see so much and it's great. Let's talk about, we brought up Lily, and let's keep talking about her. Ariana, here you said you were asking, is Lily the anti-beautiful corpse? Would you want to explain that?
Yeah, sorry, that was a super like English major thing to say.
I've recognized it, but I haven't gone into anything like that, so please.
Yeah, because, you know, there was during, I think it was the Romantic period, when everybody was, like, painting pictures of beautiful dead women, like, lying in pools of water, mm-hmm. or, like, writing sonnets for beautiful dead women lying in pools of water.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and she always was so personality-less, and you could write these sonnets to her because she was perfect and she was mute, so she couldn't talk back to you. And she like couldn't move, so you could do whatever you wanted to her. But like Lily, uh-oh. She, I know. I mean, it's kind of creepy.
But yeah, that's how it is. Yes.
Yeah.
That's very creepy. That's not how people treat dead women. No.
No.
That's how this period of time was.
That's just the way that they would paint them.
Right,
or, like,
right.
Yeah.
But Lily, at first I thought she was going to be like that in the pilot, going to be this personality-less friend that we just keep referencing to drive Veronica's story forward. But she's not like that at all. She's so multi-layered that I think that this makes the mystery of her disappearance so much more interesting.
I agree. I never thought about that before, but that's a really good point. I like naming her or calling her out as the anti-beautiful corpse. I think that fits really well.
Me too. That's great. She's almost like the zombie bride, like not in like a comical way, but she'll never go away. She'll always haunt you for the wrongdoings that haven't been solved yet. She's almost like a specter or a poltergeist, I even say, because even though she's not supernaturally there, she is there in the memories strong enough to affect everyone's, you know, lives and everything. And I think it's really unique that Veronica Mars chooses to not have her really there as a ghost, because a lot of shows would easily go there and not even bat an eyelash at that. That's my phrase, bat an eyelash, apparently, for Veronica Mars. but this show doesn't need to do that. It's fine just having a character that's dead show up in memories.
And since we're on the subject of Lily, how great was it to see Veronica interacting with other girls and having girlfriends? Because I remember when I was watching the pilot, and when I got the DVD box, the infamous DVD box, I saw that she was the only girl there. And I was like, is this going to be one of those shows where to make the girl cooler, like she's the cool girl, she's only going to talk to guys because that shows that she's so cool. She can talk to guys. She doesn't need girls. But I mean, we saw that her relationship with Lily was really strong, which I think kind of explains why she can't find an easy replacement for Lily again. And it was nice to have her talk to Georgia. So hopefully, I'm hoping she gets a female friend, because women need those, and it's good to have female friends.
Yeah, it's good to have a good mix. You should never have just too much of either or. It should just be the best way of balancing yourself out by feeling out how you act and how other people act around you, of all sorts of shapes, sizes, and creeds, etc.
That
balances her. That makes Veronica a lot more even. I agree. A lot of men are in her life, so it was nice to see her with Lily.
Yeah, and you can see like she doesn't have a total aversion to girls. I mean, she and Lily make out in the limo. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can, I don't know. And once she gets to know, I keep wanting to call her Penny Proud. Once she gets to know Georgia, like she's a little bit, she has an aversion to her at first because she fell for the scam. But by the end, you can see that she's comfortable. Like she doesn't have a huge guard up. She's not trying to like push herself away from Georgia. So it is really nice to see her with other girls. And no comment for the future.
Thank you. I always appreciate when you do that.
Yep, no comment.
Yeah, and what about just these flashbacks in general? What did we think of the way that these kids were acting and just the manner in which they were going about them? So here's the deal. You go to a dance dressed up in tuxedos, and if you're Lily, in a very buxacious top, bootylicious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because your body's so bootylicious for my babe. So she is basically shown as a heavy partier and someone looking to cause trouble in this episode, causing our view of her anti-corpse to be reinforced, not only from, you know, her showing up and having these omens and all this else, but basically from her trouble-causing nature, I'd say, and how she affected a lot of lives negatively, actually. She wasn't just always a positive person, you know? So regardless of the fact that we have this video in this episode that's supposed to show all of her greatness, it's really great that Veronica Mars shows that wild side and shows, yes, she may have been a bit of a negative influence on kids. That's how they had fun. And, you know, we're not going to hide the way she acted in her obituary and her memorial, as, I mean, oftentimes that happens, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think that memorial was really great for her. Like, if they didn't do it that way, it would have been really sad.
And who was behind that? Logan! Woo!
Logan and Veronica. So then...
sitting in a tree.
Yeah.
This episode convinced me that Logan is not all bad. I'm being converted to the Logan side, so...
That's good. Yeah.
Good. Join the dark side. Together we shall.
You see a different, another side of Logan. Like, you see how much he cares about Lily and how painful it's for him to not only watch those videos of her as a kid because it was her as a kid, but also because it wasn't the her that everybody knew or that, like, he knew. It was the one that her parents want to portray. If that makes sense. So,
and I can understand his acting out now because he's obviously in a lot of pain because from what I can see from the flashbacks, he loved her a lot.
Yeah.
As, you know, as fun of his couples they were, I think that there was a deep love there too. I agree. And that was also proved by the fact that they apparently had sex together and maybe a lot. I don't know. The impression was given that they did. But it was also great that we saw right then and there that Veronica and... Duncan never had sex, so we're assuming that they were saving themselves for each other, and that was a great foil to their other couple right next to them, Logan and Lily, because it showed that just because you portray a certain lifestyle where you're rich, famous, fabulous, and drink and party and etc., you don't have to give up all your morals. You can kind of have an in-between life, and that's where I think Veronica and Duncan both fit, and that's why it's a struggle for both of them to have the friends that they do, or for Veronica's case, have in the past the friends that she did.
And it also makes, I guess you would call it, her first time that much more poignant.
Oh yeah, of course, of course. I mean, think about how they presented that scene. She was in a white freaking dress. Okay, okay. I know, Ariana, you just said you were an English major. if you heard white dress in any context, what are you thinking?
I mean, it's the symbol of purity, isn't
it? Yes.
It's like a big neon sign.
Yeah.
I know. It was, and that's the part where I rolled my eyes. I was like, I know Veronica Mars is a really well-written show, but sometimes I know they have to write to that.
But wasn't it such a great visual thing? Like when she's walking out in the morning?
That was cool.
It was so great.
That was cool. That was cool when her underwear was off and she looked at that and she cried. That silent tear made me want to cry. It made me so upset.
Oh my God. I was so sad and angry and... I don't know. I felt so many things.
I know. So that's what kind of justified that white dress for me, because at first I was just like, she's the virgin. Oh, it was like when she was at the party before the rape happened. But then when it did happen, I was like, holy crap, she's like a wreck and she's, you know, whatever. It's been a horrible time for her. So whew, I get emotional just thinking about that scene again. And that's just such a strong flashback. And I am happy that our character... not that she got raped, my God. But I'm happy that our character has such a strong past that's a mystery that we have to try and figure out, because it puts us on the same level as her. It makes me think, you know what? Veronica knows just as much as we do about her past. It's going to be nice to find out with her and to have that justice of finding out who did it and just to make them pay. Troy.
Okay, so speaking of crying and emotions, Weevil. What did you make of Weevil at the memorial?
Yes. He's kind of been like MIA for a while, but then he just like showed up at the memorial and is like crying. What's that about?
Yeah. Come on, guys. There's like no lead there. I don't know what's going on. Oh, Adriana.
He knows too. They all know. They all know except us and Veronica what happened to her.
So wait, you're saying that Weevil knows what happened to
her
that killed her?
I think he knows.
Are we saying gang violence? Are we saying there's a romance? Or are we saying both?
Okay, well, this is what I said. I would have said that he was having a romance with Lily, except they already did that in the second episode.
Paris Hilton.
With his cousin. Yeah, with Paris Hilton. Obviously, Lily is way better than Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm.
But, true. So true.
But I would feel like that's kind of cheap if they're recycling it. They just did it two episodes ago.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that that's not the storyline. I'm going to assume then that it's something to do with his gang's violence and they murdered her. And that feels a little bit too easy, too.
I know. It has to be a bigger thing.
I can't find the right way that Lily died right now. My brain can't come up with a good reason.
Maybe her secret had to do with him.
Yeah, she did have a secret. So what if she, like, I don't know. I can only think of wild things. I can't think of a plausible theory. Oh, what if she was part of the gang? Yeah, okay.
Oh, what if Weevil was a woman?
Weevils don't wobble, they won't fall down. Or
that was one of the last episode titles, actually. Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh, shut up.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
No. Okay. That's like shut up, like in Princess Diaries when she tells her grandma to shut up.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. That was, yeah, but.
No. That's not spoiler at all. That's just title. Like, shut up. Tell me to shut up. No. Miss. Telling someone to shut up in America doesn't mean the same thing as it means in England. Oh, you shut up. Oh, God, I love Princess Diaries. It's Anne Hathaway.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Weevil.
Weevil wobbles, but he won't fall down. And that was a bit irrelevant to, I guess, what I was coming at. But he has something to do with Lily, and we don't know if it's romantic or death. We'll find out. That's the best I can give us right now, Adriana.
Okay.
Yep.
That's funny. I'm just dying of laughter right now. I've been waiting for that Princess Diaries moment for so long.
Good.
I got it out of my system.
You can use it whenever you would like, but I'm glad that you use it at that.
Yeah.
It's good. All right. So any more theories about the overarching thing? We still don't really know anything about Lily or...
We don't know anything. I'm just so frustrated.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're only 4 episodes in, so it's not like you're way behind on this. Gotta get on it. So, it's fine. Any other discussions we want to bring up about The Wrath of Khan before we give our favorites?
So Wrath of Khan means something video game-wise, I'm guessing, because it didn't really, like, say... anything.
That's from Star Wars.
I was about to say, isn't that Star Trek?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, Khan is in, like, they con someone, but The Wrath of Khan, I believe, was...
the second movie.
Yes. Where they introduce Khan, and it's kind of what the second Star Trek recently kind of takes from a little bit, but it's one of the best Star Trek movies, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I kind of knew that in the back of my brain. Oh, okay. So yeah. That's like... geeks like Star Trek, therefore there's geeks in this episode. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but it's also on a smarter level because they're conning people.
Right. And their episode titles are always, for the most part, very clever, and they'll do stuff like that.
Right.
Which I enjoy that a lot when TV shows do that.
Double meetings are great, and that's a good double meeting. Because at first you're just like, ew, Wrath of Khan. But then you're like, oh, Khan, yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Ooh, is there a merciless villain in this episode equivalent to Khan Troy? I will not let him go. And I realize the scene.
I still like him, hopefully. I'm holding out. I don't know.
Adriana, here's the scene. I forgot about it. It happened in 102. It was when he met Veronica outside after... oh, no, 103, sorry. After Justin's mom-dad deal happened, right? Okay, that was creepy because... he is in his pajamas and he goes out to meet her like this weird hour of the night and he picks up her phone call. And I just thought that was such a foreign idea for anyone, especially in the early 2000s, to have their cell phone on them that they would wake up to it or whatever at 11. Because to me, I remember like cell phones were such a foreign concept at that date of age still. It was still like something I wasn't on all the time. So the fact that he came out there and the fact that he was in his pajamas came off as like desperate and quick, and I have to go and be with her now. I have to just try and please her. And it came up as obsessive and weird, not being there for her, but she was just like, I'm outside your house. And he's like, oh, cool, great. And more time with the woman I...
No, heard. I just thought that was nice.
I didn't.
I just thought he was nice.
It's like a last-minute thing.
Yeah, I just thought what bothered me is that she went to him, of all people. I feel like she had other outlets to go to. But he's nice, and he's funny and cute. He's fine.
He's Khan. He's Khan, I know it.
Although he did make that reservation at the Four Seasons, which was creepy.
Yes.
That was creepy.
That's why I'm calling him out on Pajamas Day, too, because he's too obsessed. He just, like, jumps out of bed and, like, yes, my girlfriend's here. Oh, my God.
But she's Veronica Mars. She's worthy of being obsessed over. We are obsessing right now.
Yeah.
I've been obsessing for a while.
But she's a fictional character. To him, she's a real girl. I don't like that. I'm never going to forgive him for her hotel scene. Thank you, Papa
that
Mars.
Actually, that goes into my favorite lines, because my favorite line was when Daddy Mars was like, so you won't mind then that I canceled your reservation at the Four Seasons? I was like, ooh, snap.
Mm-hmm. That was totally like a snap girl moment right there.
Girl, please.
Mm-hmm. Girl, please. You ain't going to no hotel. Wait, isn't the Four Seasons the same hotel that she had a fake being pregnant at with her dad?
That's a small town.
That's the Neptune Grand, I think.
Oh, okay.
The Neptune Grand is like the biggest, it's like the hotel in Neptune. So, but you won't see the Hilton or anything like that. It'll be the Neptune Grand.
Are we seeing what I'm thinking I'm seeing? There's a lot of planets in this show. That means Greek something, right?
Oh.
Mars, Neptune. I'm starting to see a theme.
I don't think you see any other. Well, they live in Neptune.
I know, but yeah. Mars and Neptune are way too much of a coincidence. There has to be something special there. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Mars the goddess of... someone's going to hate me. Fighting? Like war?
God of war, yes.
And what's Neptune? Google it. I can't Google it. It'll be too loud on my end. Here, so someone mute yourself and Google it.
I'll do it.
I'm really curious. I think we're onto something here. What do you think? All right, Ariana, are you seeing what we're going on?
What all the planets mean? I just think that he's like thought they were cool names.
Oh. Wah, wah, wah.
All right. So Neptune. Oh my God, I just saw it. Where'd it go?
Oh, wait, are we talking about Neptune? He's like the son of, the god of water from the Romans. He's the Poseidon equivalent.
Mm. Are we seeing anything to deal with water and war?
They live by the beach.
They live by the beach. That's pretty obvious, yeah.
I think that's about
I don't know. I'm just, oh God, oh wow, this is big and breaking. You ready for this?
Oh my God.
Kristen Bell just talked to us.
I know. She responded to my tweet. I just got a thing from Gabrielle. Okay,
Kristen Bell, we love you. I'm sorry for anything bad we ever said about you ever.
Oh my God.
Which is nothing, because we love you.
Never bad things. No, I said that I was talking about how I apparently do a good Kristen Bell Veronica Mars impression.
Oh,
and she
God.
Just tweeted back at me, tape it, I want to see.
Oh, it's already done.
It's already done. Tell the time code, then she'll end up listening to the whole episode. Guys, that's so cool.
I'm shaking right now. I can't handle
this. This is surreal. She heard her talk about planets, and she's like, they're onto something. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was going to save it for the fun facts at the end and like not tell you until then, but oh my God.
I just freaked out because I saw a little flash notification that said something about Kristen Bell and tweeting Danielle, and I was like,
I can't breathe.
So that was the exact tweet. Oh my God. Oh. Guys, this is like, I don't even know. Well,
one of the best days of my life. August 3rd, 2013. Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
We might have to make just like a special little impression of like you just talking about it.
Oh yeah, you should do it. We can use it like for the end.
Yeah. When we're all done, we're just going to have you like, I don't know, go back and like read like any kind of like voiceover that she's done. Like maybe the voiceover of when you first get to school, the first day of school. That'd be cool.
Oh my God. Take that, high school counselor.
Take that, high school counselor. Like the first day, like every school has their something jackass.
Oh yeah. He's ours.
Yes. Oh, please do that. Please.
Oh my God. Okay.
Kristen Bell will love us forever. And
Okay. So then speaking of your impressions, oh no, but you don't have any for Kristen Bell here. I was going to say, do your favorite lines so we can hear more.
I have one. Oh, I have one right here. Please do it. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Do my quote.
Oh, good. Okay. They told me this was Sri Lanka. I wanted a coconut toddy.
That was it. You have Kristen Bell down to the T, I'm telling you.
No.
No, that really is. It really is. In context of that quote was, she was at that frosh party with Wallace, and she got caught trying to sneak into the video game group's dorm, and then they came in and they found her, and then she acted to just be like a stupid drunk girl, and she just walked out. Okay, plot points need to be wrapped up with that, though. Of course, I couldn't choose a quote without a plot point, could I? Okay,
no,
so Wallace is pretending to be a freshman that wants to come in, right? So he goes with the gaming people, Grant and whoever, on a tour. They don't recognize him from that Sri Lanka coconut toddy line part, because she was like, come save me, Big Daddy, and that was him. I mean, he was just in too good of a disguise for them to recognize him.
Either that or they knew it was the same person the day after, too.
Oh, and they basically didn't care. Well, they didn't put two and two together. Come on.
Or they just didn't care, or they really just wanted to see the
They wanted to see
footage.
The Matrix online or something. And yeah, okay, so then eventually when Veronica does end up breaking their computers, she does something that I don't understand one bit. She goes to what looks like a refrigerator and takes off the padlock, huh? And then she puts like a leaking drink into there. What was going on?
Oh, in there they had their backup drives. So she had already taken the drives with the game that they were creating out of the regular computers.
Mm-hmm.
And then she found that there was that safe in the closet and their backup drives were in there. So if she really wanted to take everything away from them, she had to get rid of the backup drives. And since she couldn't, I always thought that she couldn't get into the safe, but apparently she does. And instead of taking the backups, she destroys them. So then they absolutely need the drives that she has.
Oh, so that was destroying them by somehow
inundating them with energy drinks.
Monster drink or whatever. Monster energy. Oh, okay. Now
that's
get
the only drug
from
that they have in their room.
Oh, caffeine. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Aaron Sorkin writing. I'm telling you, that's Aaron Sorkin writing right there. Holy crap.
That was
the
only drug they had. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's such a good show. Veronica Mars, yes.
Yes.
Woo. Oh, okay. So then, Adriana, did you already say your quote?
Yep.
Oh, good. So then we have Danielle, right?
My quote?
Hmm.
All right. Well, this is Wallace, because Wallace is awesome. Well, I have two. The first one is Wallace. And he says, it's not going to work. You can't take the cool out of me. Look, pocket protector, and I'm still full of pimp juice.
That was a good pimp juice, like he did.
Pimp juice. Yeah.
Pimp juice.
And then my second quote was when Logan, in the flashback, first sees Lily in her homecoming dress. And he goes, I believe Keanu Reeves said it best when he said, whoa.
I don't even remember what movie is that from.
Isn't that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or something?
Well, you know what? That's two Keanu Reeves references in one episode, isn't it? Because The Matrix and then that.
Yeah.
I think REP has something to do with Keanu Reeves, or, you know, has a little bit of a boy crush on him or something, because
sponsored by Keanu Reeves.
Sponsored by Keanu Reeves. I did used to be a radio show advertiser, so that's probably where I got that voice trick from.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I used to do all that for my school's radio, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
It works. You sound like the Hulu guy.
I know. Well, I what's the exact line from Hulu? I just want to get it out there. What is it? Something this content is
brought to you by.
I'll look up the Hulu quote. Oh, watch, I'm going to Google it right here. I'm going to say it. This is the Impressions episode, apparently.
I love it. I'm so excited about it.
While you're Googling, Mitch, I'm going to talk about my favorite scenes.
Yes,
Which were just the Lily flashbacks, because I love her. So that's two. Two times I've picked Lily now in this episode.
Well, of course. I mean, she's so interesting.
What's yours, Daniel?
My favorite scene? Obviously Gamer Girl. But just specifically when she stands up and goes, "Ownage." Just the how confident she is, and I don't know. It's great. I just love her as Gamer Girl.
I think Gamer Girl was one of her best costumes ever.
I agree.
I really do. I can't find this exact quote. Why is this so difficult? I don't understand. Is everyone just like complaining that there's not limited commercials on Hulu? we'll find it later and I'll read it. It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Okay,
so then it's time for my favorite scene. My favorite scene that I didn't write down in here, but it is the same scene actually that Danielle chose. It was Gamer Girl when she is killing her fellow little video game people, because I know of friends that would just do that to me when I'm playing with them against a bunch of friends just to, like, you know, be cute or fun. And I'm just like, no, let the boys play. It's not sexist. It's just like, you know, like a girl playing up that she's bad or something just for fun, just to be flirty or something, because it's fitting a stereotype. But, you know, not all stereotypes are true. Girls can be just as good at games. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
My 10-year-old cousin beats me in Mario Kart on a daily basis. And I'm good at Mario Kart.
Good for her.
Yeah,
I mean,
real,
I'm sorry,
right?
But good for her.
Like, she's a butt kicker at Mario Kart. She doesn't even drift. I don't know how she does it. She probably cheats.
Some
cheat
goes
in there. Hey now, you're an all-star. No, I don't know how she does it. It's so strange. She would give Gamer Girl a run for her money. I'm sure that Gamer Girl, the personality, would probably be really great at video games, because apparently Veronica Mars just stocks all these personalities, all these traits up in her brain, and is able to bring them out. Because in this episode, she has four.
Bring him out.
Yeah.
Sorry, so. The first thing I thought of.
No, she's...
But, yeah.
I can't get over how impressed I am with Gamer Girl, though. I want more of that Gamer Girl. Please tell me she's going to come back. Spoil me. I need to know.
Gamer Girl? I really don't think so.
Oh, that's so upsetting.
It's done. Yeah.
With her lip gloss and everything? No? That's sad. That's upsetting.
Like I said, Amber. Like, personalities like Amber come back, because those are useful.
Right.
When it comes to, like, the stereotypical guys that are in, or the stereotypical, like, 09er guys, mm-hmm. like, that one works well. But Gamer Girl, I think, is, like, a one and done, I think. Sadly.
That's sad.
Yeah, I know. We'll just have to watch that on repeat. We'll be okay.
Indeed.
We'll get through it. All right. So I think that's all that we have to say about episodes 3 and 4. Does anybody have anything else to add?
No, let's just make sure and share our contact info so we can get lots of lovely Twitter tweets and emails, because we want to hear from all of our listeners.
And Kristen Bell.
And Kristen Bell, of
oh my
course.
God, and Kristen Bell. Ariana, you want to do that?
You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Please send us emails. We read them all and we enjoy them. And you can tweet us at re_watchable. And we also love getting your tweets. And you can also comment on this post at hypable.com, like some of our commenters today, like Alexis, Tito Cannon, and Julia. And write us an iTunes review, but only if it's positive. If you have anything less than 5 stars, please. I mean, you can still comment. But
this is 1984, people. You have to put our thoughts down or else it gets burned.
We'll find a way. We'll find some tech person and take them off. Just kidding.
we'll get the wrath of Khan on you.
Yes, we'll get the wrath of Khan on you.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, well, I think that's it for today. So, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye, but we will see you next time when we discuss episodes 5 and 6. So, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Goodbye. I will see you next time. But until then, I will be in a corner fangirling about Kristen Bell and practicing
doing impressions. Yeah.
And practicing my impression of. And let's not forget Logan Eccles. Every school has an obligatory psychotic jackass. He's ours.
And I'm just going to be. Oh, that was good. Oh.
I'm practicing.
good, please. We know we need it. We need it. I was just sitting here singing this theme song. It's playing behind me, so it's a lot cooler right now, guys.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to go so you can listen to that theme song, too. So, goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.